Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by Sophie Jury, who is a woman on a mission to get her ultimate diary planners on the desks of 25,000 plus women to help them get more organised and create the businesses and lives that they dream of. Alongside the planners, Sophie also runs events and workshops and is steadily building a thriving communities of ladies that plan. Women who have a love, stroke addiction, of all things stationery and want to be a part of a sisterhood of support, fun and empowerment. And everything that Sophie is about is right up my street. Welcome and thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're very polite. I always start these conversations by asking my guests what adulting means to you.
Right, well, it made me pause when you said that because I thought, what on earth does adulting really mean? I guess I don't really think about adulting as a thing very often. I don't really feel like I've ever progressed into adulthood. I'm still waiting for that to happen at some point. But I guess if I had to choose, I would say it's probably taking responsibility. I think over the years, the one thing I suppose if I look back that stands out is the times where you take responsibility for something, whether it's your fault or not. In an argument, when you take responsibility for the fact that you're going to end it, or you're going to end it amicably, or you're going to walk away, or you're going to continue, or whatever you're doing, your choice of words is always taking responsibility and not no longer placing blame elsewhere. Because when you take responsibility, you can actually do something about it and take action. You can choose where that goes from there. So I guess adulting for me is being able to take responsibility even when you don't want to.
I love that. And at the same time, it's really easy to talk about taking responsibility even when you don't want to in a way that makes it sound like something we don't want to do. And yet, like in your explanation of that, there's also that element of choice. There's also, you know, the whole point of taking responsibility, even though you might not want to in that moment, even though your like ego or your pride or your like sense of woundedness or whatever is saying, don't want to, the long-term gains of taking responsibility are choice. And when you have more choice is something we do want, right?
And we get empowered by choice.
Yeah.
So instantly, it's funny because when you take responsibility and you say, I'm going to take this, it's going to be me. It's totally, so for example, you've had a conversation with a client or a friend or a partner or a child, and they're saying, you didn't mean that. You said this, 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 this. And instead of you going, no, I totally didn't say that. I meant this. You take responsibility that they misunderstood what you said. So therefore you could have said it better. And by taking that on, instead of being disempowered, you've completely stepped into a place of empowerment where you can say, right, I now have a choice of exactly how I want this to play out from here, rather than it being in everybody else's hands and, oh God, you know, they took it wrong and it's so unfair and all this. Suddenly we step into our power, and I see responsibility as power really, rather than something negative. So I guess when I'm saying it in that sense, yeah, definitely it's about a positive, empowering thing rather than being this big ball and chain.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I agree entirely. And I'm kind of on a one woman mission to reframe adulting and responsibility into something positive. I think if we all took a little bit more personal responsibility, the world would be a kinder, more friendly place, and then we'd all get on a lot better.
Oh my goodness, 100%. Yeah, can you imagine the change? We'd all be out responsibilitying each other. We'd be saying, no, it's my fault. I take full responsibility. I'll sort it out.
Well, I'm not even the it's my fault thing, right? Just I own that. What can I do differently, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't need to be about shifting that. The blame piece is really interesting in itself, right? Like blame is entirely unnecessary. It's just like if we just went, oh, okay, yeah, no, I can see that, or I can't see that, but I take responsibility. How can I do it differently?
Yeah,
you know, there doesn't need this. I just don't see the need for blame. I want to shift gears ever so slightly. How does planning fit into taking responsibility and being an adult?
Oh, do you know, it's just part of my makeup, it's part of my DNA. I think I've gone through various stages over the years. I've done quite a lot of shamanic work in the last kind of 15 years. And to start with, I remember doing some work and it was very much about, God, I'm such a control freak. I really just like to know what's happening. I like to have a plan. I feel comfortable. I feel much happier when I know what to expect and what's coming up. Not that we ever really have any power over what's coming up, but I like to have a rough idea so I know that if everything goes to plan, this is what I can kind of expect. And then I can deal with the other stuff that comes on. And then I was like, right, it's a negative thing. I'm over controlling. I've got to let go. I've got to release. I've just got to go with the flow and be happy about that. And then I realized over the next couple of years of trying to integrate that it actually wasn't about being controlling and being all of these things and trying to release that and be less worried about planning. It was about embracing that as an element of my personality and then not worrying about all the other stuff. So saying, right, I'm actually pretty good at planning. So if I can plan things and it makes me feel better, then there's nothing wrong with that at all. And other people have their strengths as well. So my strength comes in planning. And I think from taking responsibility of that aspect of myself and embracing it rather than saying, oh, you know, everyone else, that person there is so relaxed and so easy and goes with flow and they act on impulse and it's much easier. I just feel very much happier if I can plan things out. And that could be anything. I do it with, I just feel much more relaxed and like I'm ready to kind of take on the world. It could be meal planning. It could be obviously business planning. I love business planning. I spend my entire world something business related. Just the plan. And it makes it easier to see the bigger picture. When you have a plan and you're seeing the bigger picture, it means that you're better able to make better choices. Sometimes we get so caught up in things that are happening every day that we don't get an opportunity to take a bird's eye view. And I think when you have a plan and you can track and measure, you're far better placed to be able to see when you might be going off piste, which you might not have been able to do had you not had a plan.
I love that. And I, you know what, there's a couple of things in that I love particularly, right? One being that your journey with it, initially being like, oh God, I'm such a control freak. And, you know, I really believe there's a Mastin Kip quote, which is, and also a Tony Robbins one, because, you know, same to some degree, around the quality of your life directly correlating to your relationship with uncertainty. Yeah. And you know, when you start in the personal development world and you start to look at your own growth and want to be a more fully rounded human adult and happy person, there is this idea that you need to get better at dealing with uncertainty and the amount that we control the world, or that we try and manipulate and control the world. And it sounds to me like you kind of came in thinking that that's what planning was. And yet through your kind of your personal work and the shamanic work and all the other things that you've done, realized that it wasn't actually about controlling or attempting to control the world, but really getting organized and creating space so that you could have more fun, so that you can, you know, achieve more and kind of just to have a, like you said, a bird's eye view on what's going on.
Yeah, Tony Robbins, the certainty, uncertainty, my six human needs, my certainty is definitely higher than my uncertainty.
Well, and you know what? It's a very common thing, right? And people's needs for certainty. Like I personally do think that getting more comfortable with being uncomfortable is going to be one of the best things you can do for yourself. Because if uncertainty gives you anxiety and then and stops you sleeping and has you worrying, and like all the planning in the world isn't going to be fun. You're still going to feel anxious, you're still going to feel worried, you're still going to spend time going, but is it going to happen, is it not going to happen? Like, planning's only one part of it, right? You've then got to be okay with the plan and trust the plan and let go and relinquish and surrender and to some point. And it sounds very much like you've also done that piece of work around like, I can plan, but it might not happen, or other things might, you know, this is a map, not some kind of tyrant looking over your shoulder going, you must do this because you said you were going to.
You failure.
Why have you not adhered to this rule book that you created?
I think for me, the plan element of it, creating the plan, is cathartic. I find that relaxing. And if I'm in overwhelm, I've got to get it all out of my head, because my head is where all the busyness is. It's like rush hour traffic in there. And if I've got ideas in there, if I've got something that excites me, something that scares me, if I keep it in there, then I just, it builds up in layers and I then feel like I'm drowning. So I have to just get it out of my body physically into something, usually a notebook, something pretty, depending on what it is. I have different notebooks for different things and different thoughts and different pens for different plans. But I guess I've always been interested in art. I did art from a very young age, always been arty farty. School, it was always design and print, technology, art. It was all the art subjects at school. I started off doing handmade cards and wedding stationery. There's always been that art element there. So I find the planning side is quite creative. You can draw, you can doodle, you can take ideas out of your head and get them down on paper, and it becomes almost an artistic piece in itself, because you know what each of those elements means. But it's the creating of the plan that I find helps me relax. And then after that, it's then working on self-development to not become attached to the outcome. I think so many people, we talk about goal setting a lot and various things. Obviously this time of the year, it's goal setting craziness. And someone posted in my group actually recently and said, oh, you know, have you got any words of wisdom for somebody who hasn't achieved their goals this year? And I said, well, yeah. And that is, don't worry about it. I set goals all the time that I don't hit. And I think it's not, when do we ever hit a goal and it's like the best feeling in the whole world forever? It's this momentary exaltation of, I've hit that goal, hooray. And then, oh.
Well, and that's how we're designed to always want more. And part of my process that I work with people on, I have eight pillars of practice, and one of those is acknowledgement, because we have a tendency as humans not to close the acknowledgement loop, to actually, you know, to have an idea, to take some action, to see whether or not it worked. You know, we don't do that bit, we just move on to the next bit, have an idea, do some work, finish it,
because it doesn't feel great. It's weird, isn't it? It's, for me, it's the journey to get to the goal, and all the lessons you learn along the way that are the bits that we, that make up everything that we do.
If you take time to on purpose acknowledge that you were here and now you're here and this is what you wanted. And I think, you know, there's that there are cliches for a reason. There's the idea that it's not the destination, it's the journey. And I think until you make that mindset shift, then it is the destination, right? So for a lot of people, when they first start out, they're like, no, I don't care about how, I just want to be there. And actually, if you can, you know, I think the idea of personal development and planning working together is really important, because there is something beautiful, one, about watching your own development and progress and process and actually being able to see it unfold, and the other of pen to paper is just, you know, as a similar background as you, you know, lots of my degrees in scenic art. I spent a long time in the film industry and have always, you know, started, again, my first ever business was a card making business when I was 14. I used to paint watercolor and rip it into little shapes and put it on the front of cards. And my favorite thing to do, the first time I ever got the this card is blank for your own message stickers. I felt like I'd made it. I was finally had a business.
Oh my God. Yeah, I totally remember that. Oh my God. You got it in a plastic wrapper and it's a proper card.
Yeah, someone's going to pay me money for this. I was 14. It was amazing. So I'm totally down with that. There's, you know, technology is wonderful. I use a lot of technology in my business. It's fantastic.
Yeah, oh God, I love it.
Yeah. And at the same time, just really, you know, there's nothing better than a beautiful diary or a beautiful journal or planner to be able to get those ideas out of our head. And
just got to be done, because you can be so expressive with it when you're writing stuff down. I think writing stuff down is a good point, because we very often, and it comes back to acknowledgement as well, we very often don't write stuff down. And I think if we regularly wrote down where we were at in terms of what our turnover is, what our mindset, you know, how we were feeling, then that gives us something to look back on. Because it's crazy, you look back to when I started out doing cards, and I've got a piece of paper I found, and we were moving, and I was like, oh my goodness, it's my little kind of profit checker, and I had like sales of £100. Oh my God, this is the most amazing thing in the whole world. And now I take that completely for granted. But you look back and you forget just how far you go during these periods of time, because the time goes like lightning. And I think if we can write those things down, it makes it easier to be able to see the growth that we've made, which very often we beat ourselves up about having not done any growth, and in actual fact we've done loads.
If people find planning overwhelming, you know, I get for you it's really fun, and I get that for a lot of people listening it will be really fun, and they're going to just be like, I want your planner, and go off and find it, and it'll be the right one for them or not, or whatever. But for people who find planning difficult, what have you got any ideas of how to make it more fun?
Find someone to do it with. I think one of the biggest things, I love obviously doing the planning bits, but I have definitely have people that don't like it. I've got one lady in particular. I'm not brilliant at English. I can always get my verbs and adjectives and things mixed up. I can't remember what is what. So if I overwhelm her with marketing planning, she just spouts she goes verb, adjective at me. And I go, okay, I'm overwhelming you. It's fine, because I would be exactly the same in the other situation. So I think for people who find planning really daunting, I think it's coming down to baby steps, and just, it doesn't have to be really complicated. It can be really simple. Just saying, today I'm going to do this one thing is a plan, and that is all it needs to be. But I think if you can find people to do it with, whether that be going to a local networking group or creating, getting your girls around for a cup of coffee, slice of cake, get a piece of paper out, write down what do I want to be making happen this year. Go to a workshop that facilitates it. You know, just seek support. An accountability buddy is one of the best things you can ever get. Just someone you can brainstorm ideas with, and who's going to hold you accountable to, you know, following your plan and sticking to it and staying focused.
I think that's great. I think so. By the time this podcast comes out, it's going to be March, I think. And you know, people, so we're recording it in January, and that, you know, that's planning for you. And so by that point we'll be like first quarter into the year, and I feel like there's always that little shame period that waves in around March, as people suddenly realize they haven't got started yet, or they haven't done as, you know, they're not on plan, or they're not on target, and things are happening. So if you're falling behind on your plan, or things haven't turned out as you had planned, or as you had hoped or had expected, what can people do to stop themselves from feeling bad?
I think the important thing when looking back is to do two things. One is to review whether your implementation, and also your kind of your plan and your implementation, that what your results were. So sometimes we can look back and we think that we haven't necessarily achieved the things that we've done, but we don't know why. So therefore we're not taking responsibility. We've got no idea what we could have done differently, what we need to do differently going forward, and we can feel a little bit lost. So I think we need to look back and we need to say, right, so did I have a plan in the first place is a good one. If not, maybe that's where I need to just try and create something going forward. If I did have a plan, how well did I actually implement that plan? So say from a scale of 1 to 10, if 1 was I didn't do anything at all and 10 was I was the most awesome thing ever, how well did I implement? And then, you know, you then look at the results and you gauge it off the back of that. Because if you had a plan and you implemented it really well and you still didn't hit your goals, then there's definitely going to be something wrong with the plan. If you had a plan and you didn't implement at all, then you've got no idea whether the plan was sound or not. So then the next step would be, instead of focusing on changing the plan, is to actually focus on implementing the plan. But I think taking it back to small action steps, I always try and encourage people to choose one action that they could take consistently going forward and just commit to that one thing. And if you'd be amazed how much you can change over the period of just a month, just by being consistent, even a week of consistently doing one thing. It could be doing, you say you do a Facebook post every day or a Facebook live every day or blog once a week or send an email newsletter once a week. Even just in 30 days, it can have a huge impact on you because it can impact you in creating other better habits. But it also can just actually just bring work in, or, you know, exercise once a day or drink more water, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's just being consistent in that one thing.
And I also think it's picking the right one thing, or picking something. So if you genuinely, if you've got a little way down the line and you're having a review and you realize that you haven't stuck to the plan, then maybe it's not something you really want. Or you've made your action chunks too big, or there's something going on that or you don't believe you can do it, and it's kind of getting into the why, what's going on here, and breaking it down and remembering not to beat yourself up about it, right? And just be like, it's okay, this is where I am now. And actually beating yourself up and going, oh, I'm so terrible because I haven't done this, is just another form of procrastination. It's just another form of drawing a line in the sand. One of my catchphrases, my clients will all be laughing, is perfection is the enemy of done. And it's just, having a perfect plan but not taking any action is pointless. I'd much rather you had a rubbish plan and took some action.
100%. My plan is I would like to sell more. Brilliant. Let's focus on how much we want to sell today. Let's focus on how much we want to sell next week. Or I want to get more fit. Okay, cool. Let's focus on what we need to do. Let's make sure that we move for 20 minutes today, or 5 minutes a day, or we take 3 deep breaths a day to be more calm. Doesn't have to be anything massive. Often those little tiny changes, which we don't feel put too much pressure on us, are the best ones, because those little tiny changes can then create much bigger changes later on, because it's such a big mindset shift. It's all about, I think, making it more achievable for you, so you're not focusing on all of this stuff that needs to get done, which will be done if you just focus on a few little steps. And I think also focusing on the next step. If you're in major overwhelm, forget the plan as such. Just look at what you've got to do next. What is the first thing that I have to do now? And then when you've done that, what's the next first thing I have to do?
I love that. So that's our time. Obviously you and I talk, and there's so much more. And I just say, thank you for coming and having this chat with me. If people want to find out more, where's the best place for them to find you and to find out more?
It would be going to the ladiesthatplan.com website. There is some freebies on there. There's links to groups and events and stuff that we run, and obviously the diary plans that we do. So there's plenty of bits and bobs on there to be found.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'm going to end just with a little confession, because you sound so terribly organized and together. I feel like a confession is needed to let people know just how normal we both really are. So I will start. It's a very, very simple format. I am an adult, but I am terrible at sticking to plans. And I'm also one for buying wonderfully beautiful planners and not putting anything in them. So I have learned from this. I am going to say this. I have learned from this, and I have stopped buying planners now, because I had so many with just nothing in them. Come to the conclusion for myself. I used to be someone who was so good at planning and so rigid and so like stuck to it, and I wouldn't have got to where I've got to in my business and my life without that. But I've definitely reached a stage of my life where going with the flow is Yeah, and having no plan and seeing what unfolds is definitely part of the plan.
Yes.
How about you?
Okay, so I am an adult, but I'm definitely not super organised in every element of my life. My other half would definitely attest to that. You should see the state of the laundry pile on my bedroom floor. I live with one of the most organised and tidy people ever. And he makes me feel, he's kind of organised and tidy in one way and I'm organised and tidy in another way. Mentally organised is what I am. But who said what an adult was anyway? Who put some hard and fast rules out there? I'm still waiting to grow up and figure out what I want to be when I'm a grown up.
Well, and I love that, you know, and I think that's part of my mission with this show is to just expose that it's really okay. There's 100 million ways of doing it, and it's not about settling. It's not about becoming boring. It's not about doing things you don't want to do. Like,
do you think adults meant you were kind of grown up and boring? And the more fun I have with my business, the more I realise that it's all about having fun and making good relationships with people. That's what it's all about. So being an adult is all about having fun.
I concur. So thank you so much for joining me, and I'll catch up with you really, really soon.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.